Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the long-awaited return again of the iOS show. We are taking a kind of a British Mac style approach to podcasting. I take it you guys will have heard of British Mac and Will Green.
I haven't heard of any other podcast ever except ours.
I have heard rumors of this mystical man.
Yes, well,
among men.
He's actually his podcast I really, really enjoy. But I think Ewan quoted that he's been podcasting for 7 years, doing a monthly or a fortnightly podcast, and he has managed to get up to episode 140 or something like
Blimey
that.
Heck.
So we are...
Is it a video one as well?
Yeah, I think you can get a video one too.
I used to watch the video one a few years ago.
Yeah, but we're trying to emulate that level of awesomeness in our regularity of podcasting. But
those are some pretty big boosts to step into, honestly.
If you're that bothered about your regularity, just eat more fiber. Simple as that.
And we're 5 minutes in with the show title. Awesome. Grant, okay, anyway, so usual suspects here tonight, but we are down one member.
So it's not the usual suspects at all. It's a subset of the usual suspects.
We have a quorum. We have a quorum.
Just not a player.
We're just suspects.
Who are we missing today, Paul? Who could we be missing?
I think he's noticeable in the absence of his words and his numbers. And we are missing Ian. Excuse me, hold on a sec. Can I talk amongst yourself? I've just realised I've forgotten something.
He's forgotten.
Oh, okay, sure.
His natural ability to present podcasts. He's forgotten his trousers, hasn't he? No, he's forgot Ian. Is he responsible for Ian?
Ah, that must be it.
Sorry, no, I just realised I didn't have a pen to hand, and I need a pen.
Yeah, you definitely need a pen to do a podcast. Are you sitting at anything that could perhaps electronically capture notes?
Yeah, but then you can hear me tapping away, you see?
Well, you're scribbling away.
anyway.
Just you.
Sorry?
No, you could just use an iPhone or another iOS device, perhaps, if you had one nearby. You
know, well, I don't have any iOS devices nearby.
That's not good.
You suck.
Yeah, well, in the time that we... Which is... I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this show anymore, because in the time that we've not been on the air for... In fact, it was Valentine's Day was last year on, so it was the 14th of February.
That was a sexy day.
It was a sexy day, yes. I have... moved over to the dark side as a trial, and I'm currently working off of a Nexus 4.
Okay, they're nice though.
Android's nice. The phone itself looks nice. I'm going to cover this later on when we talk about the competition, but a little disappointed with the hardware, I have to say.
But, okay.
Paul Weekly, disappointed with the hardware. There's your soundbite there. Are we going to introduce ourselves? Does everyone know us? Have we said what the show is? This is the iOS show. Hello, the iOS show. Hi, everyone. It's the iOS show. And we've not been around since 14th of February, have we, Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Because I think it did get a little bit romantic, a little bit hot under the collar between the four of us.
Yeah, it really did.
We've all been on a Greek holiday together. So we've been playing Leapfrog, and it was fun, wasn't it?
It was. We enjoyed Leapfrog. The oiling and the nakedness was slightly unnecessary, but
wrestling. It was hard to tell where one man ended and the next began. Really.
anyway, we have we don't really have any news. We have some rumours, and we have a couple of little bits to talk about.
Some rumours coming out of Greece at the moment.
Well, will we push on into the news?
We've still not introduced ourselves. I'm not trying to derail you or anything. But.
Right, okay. My name is Paul Wheatley.
Hello, Paul.
Greetings, Paul.
Hello.
Who's that other guy?
Oh, me?
You.
Wait, am I lost? Oh, wait. No, I'm Robert Falk. I'm from way up here in the cold north, or so they say.
Hello, Robert.
Greetings.
Hello. I'm Roddy McCleary. I'm on the podcast as well. Hello.
Hello.
See, we've all done our...
You'd almost think
people
there wasn't
who we are.
There wasn't a huge amount to talk about, and we're sort of padding. Some people
are
minor
listeners. Any new listeners who've just suddenly seen this thing pop up after a month or whatever it is, they won't know who we are, and we don't want to be voices echoing around their head telling them to start fires. So just being polite.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the job of the leprechaun. Everybody knows that.
Yes, very true. Very true. Right. Okay. Can we get on the news now?
Let's do some news.
Okay. So, let's start with the iOS 6.1.3 has been released, and it fixed the passcode bug. So that's the one where people can get into your phone just by doing a series of things.
Did we briefly cover that last time? We did, didn't we?
I think we did, but there's another one come out since then, isn't there?
Ah, okay, yeah. I don't want to sabotage this any more than I am already, but is this fix for the bug that was the 999 call, or is it for the one after that?
I believe it's for wait a minute, I'm just in early February, it began life 6.1.1 in early February. It was relabeled 6.1.3 as Apple rushed to pay it out a pair of emergency bug fixes.
Right, okay.
So I'm not actually sure which one. It definitely fixes the first, but whether it fixes the second one, I don't know, because both of them were relating to the passcode on the lock screen. You know, it always amuses me. So the second one, we covered the first one in the last show, but the second one is basically, I think you have to do an emergency call, and as the emergency call is ringing, you pop the SIM card out, which then throws up a message that just says SIM card popped out. You pop the SIM card back in, and it bypasses the lock screen. So it occurs to me, who does this? Who has the time to sit and spend working this out? It just blows my mind.
I bet that's what Ian's doing right now instead of doing this podcast.
Well, in Ian's defense, we should really maybe mention that he's not just being lazy, because it's been his fault that we've not done one for 2 months.
We'll blame him.
Yeah. he's actually working tonight. He's got a very hard way. We're recording this on the eve of Good Friday, and so obviously everybody's off Friday, Monday, or most people are off Friday, Monday, and so I imagine this deadline is because they're not wanting to work tomorrow, so he's pushing on into the evening.
These brave men and women of whatever it is he does.
Yes, I'm not actually sure what he does there, because I thought he was self-employed, and he sort of suggested that other people were working with, I don't know, anyway, we're getting off topic.
He dresses up as a big foam number and wanders around. Pick number 7. Could I talk about the 6.13 update?
Yes, okay, carry on, sorry.
Sorry. One thing which is really more material, perhaps, than the passcode bug, or the fact that it's got Japanese maps included, which I suppose that's good if you're in Japanese or live in Japan, but it's killed the current evasion jailbreak. So if you're a jailbreaker, you don't want it.
Yes, very true. Very true. It occurred to me the other day, in a random musing, that why, if Apple doesn't like jailbreaking, why don't they just put something in that detects it and then stops it? And then it also occurred to me that that would probably be why they didn't do that, because the jailbreak would just get around that.
I guess you're invalidating your warranty, aren't you? If you do that, you're invalidating your warranty. They've got nothing to lose, really.
Well, are you? Because you're only invalidating it so long as the jailbreak's on the phone. Yeah, so you could just plug it in iTunes, do a restore, and then is your warranty back? I mean, I don't know how that all works.
But all you're modifying is the software, and if you put the unmolested software back on, then it's as it was.
Yes, I suppose.
I did actually, don't tell anyone this, don't tell anyone from Apple this, I went to take my, I think it was my first gen iPhone in, because something went wrong with it. A little colour flaw or something in the screen. So I took it back to have the hardware, and they said, oh yeah, we'll swap that for you. And as I'm standing at the Genius Bar, I realised that my phone was jailbroken. I started panicking, trying to do a DFU reset as I was standing there, going really red in the face. And actually, you know what, they just went and swapped it anyway. But I had a huge panic.
Yes. No, they're quite good. I managed, I can't remember if this was before the last show or not, so maybe I've talked about this. Stop me if you've heard this one. I managed to drop 2 iPad 3s and an iPad Mini within the space of 7 days.
There's something wrong with you, really.
Smash this. Well, in my defense,
Were you juggling them?
You're not supposed to juggle such expensive things.
Do another one, Paul.
I have two iPad 3s. I don't have any more because they were actually... one was mine and one was my wife's. And since I got my iPad mini, I stopped using mine. And since she got her her Kindle Paperwhite, she stopped using hers because all she really used her iPad for was reading books in the Kindle app. So the two of them were sitting and we were going to put them on eBay. And I had just laid them both, one on top of the other, with a bit of paper in between. I don't know what the paper was going to do. In my head, that meant that they weren't going to get the screen scratched, but I'm sure that that wouldn't have done very much. Anyway, so I knocked the two of them accidentally off the table as I was walking past them. Both screens smashed. Mm-hmm. That's pretty horrendous. 4 days later, as I'm getting my jacket out of the car, at the car park to go to work, I dropped my iPad mini out of my jacket pocket. So completely coincidental in their time periods, but frustrating nonetheless. So I took them to the Apple store, and they replaced two of the screens for free. I was completely honest. I told them exactly what happened. It was entirely my own fault. I completely understood that I was going to have to pay the three. I didn't lie or anything like that. And I got the loveliest lady behind the till, and she replaced two of them free. I had to pay for the, I think it was the one of the iPad 3s, I can't remember which one. And she replaced the iPad mini and the other iPad 3 screen for free. And she didn't have to do it. It was entirely my stupidity.
You're not allowed to say that she's lovely. You're a married man. An immediately forgettable woman at the Genius Bar. Yes, did it for me. Not that she said they do that for everyone. Arguably give you worse service than she give anyone else.
Well, I was speaking to another chap at work, and he had a similar situation. And
he's married.
Well, actually, he is. Yes,
but there you go.
he reckoned it was because it was quite clear that he was an Apple user, because he walked in, he had smashed his iPhone while he was waiting. No, sorry. He'd smashed his iPad, and while he was waiting, he was taking calls on his phone. He pulled open his MacBook and he was doing some work on it. And his theory was, because I'd went in with three iPads, I was clearly a fanboy and I'd spent a lot of money with Apple. That was the other thing that occurred to me. I didn't expect to get that kind of level of service because I thought what they might do is assume that I've bought three broken iPads off of eBay and then just trying my luck, you know?
But you have had all of these ones registered to presumably an iCloud account.
That's true, actually. Yeah, they are all registered to me, so I suppose they could have checked on that.
And you would have had proof of purchase if they'd asked, so.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a lovely story.
No problem. I don't know how we drifted onto that from talking about 6.1.3, but always jailbreaking and stuff. So anyway, back on track. So Apple have bought an indoor mapping company. Presumably, this is to kind of compete with the whole Google Maps dudes wandering about with backpacks on. So they bought the company called Wi-Fi Slam. So what do you guys think of this? Are you interested at all in this indoor mapping gig or anything like that?
I don't think you're really going to see anything because all it does, I mean, I know at my house, I live in a sort of large central Edinburgh tenement, and so it's a big building, very, very tall slab and very thick stone walls. And one minor thing is that, you know, I'll always notice if I bring up my own location, I'll almost always end up on the wrong side of the house, apparently.
Right.
So it's just, you know, the GPS is picking me up through a window that a signal's bouncing off or something. Or I guess all it's really, I'm just going to be transparent, isn't it? All it's going to do is just refine your location a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if you are in a large building, if you're in an office building or something. Mm. I don't think we're going to notice anything. I think you're just going to have a slightly more accurate reading.
Well, at the moment, GPRS is accurate up to 10 meters, isn't it?
GPS
yeah. is accurate up to 10 meters. And this
it should
is,
be, yeah.
This is only bringing
for
that.
For the consumer version, at least, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Oh, do you know what this could be good for? He thought. Of course, Edinburgh's not the most built-up place in the world, but if you live somewhere like London or New York or really built-up cities with tall buildings, GPS goes all to hell, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're at a big canyon-like street, then GPS can either not get a fix or report you somewhere else. So this would be massively useful there because it could pin you down to a specific building, maybe even an element of a part of a building. So, yeah, I can see, actually, you know, it's a bit more useful. Mm. Again, totally transparent to the end user, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, at least.
Hmm. So, it's quite interesting.
It's interesting. I don't think it's going to be world-changing, but it's kind of neat. It's good to see that they're looking at adding stuff onto their mapping proposition, but I think what they should really be looking at is just doing the actual maps right in the first place.
Well, interestingly, that's a nice segue there, actually.
Is it?
Very, very quickly, I am just going to point out that this was just a $13 million acquisition.
I was going to buy them.
that's kind of like that. That's walking around money for Mr. Cook, surely.
I think he went over to his sofa in the office and like shook the pillows again and like, oh, well, somebody dropped out. And
what he does in the privacy of his own home.
But do you not think I'm kind of loath to let that segue go a little bit, because that was quite a good segue. But I just wanted to comment on this, because that's $13 million for Wi-Fi Slam, which is something that's doing quite innovative to a degree. It's a company, like a number of people. And then take that $13 million in one hand, or $20 million, £30 million, and in the other hand, look at Yahoo's acquisition of that, which is essentially like an RSS aggregator by a 17-year-old kid who got $30
million. Oh, Sumley.
Yeah.
That kid, I was reading that article, that kid's going to be such a pain in the neck.
Well, apparently
he is, isn't he?
He'll grow up to be an absolute...
it's been put in a trust fund, apparently, so he's not getting access to it. But I just don't understand. You've got two different sides of the coin, and somebody might come along and say, Wi-Fi Slam weren't as good negotiators, but surely you've got to assume that a company like Wi-Fi Slam, which maybe I'm being ageist here a touch, but you've got to assume older, wiser, more experienced, would be better at negotiating than a 17-year-old high school student. I just find that bizarre. But anyway, so it's kind of off topic a little bit, but it's just the amount of money that's getting thrown about, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of equilibrium. There's no kind of like, almost like the stock market. There's no kind of like way of gauging that at all. Folk are just spending all sorts of random money all over the joint for different companies that...
Year when Facebook bought that somewhat famous Instagram, like photo sharing stuff?
It's like HP buying autonomy. And who is it? Microsoft bought somebody rubbish as well, didn't they? I can't remember, was it $6 billion for an egg or something? I can't remember what it was. Those morons.
Well, they're currently trying to buy Dell. Talk about trying to purchase a sinking ship anyway. But
why doesn't the iOS show buy something? Let's buy something. I'm going to make an iOS show acquisition before the next episode, right? That's my homework.
If it's a pair of soiled underwear, we don't want to know about it.
It'll be... I've frittered away money on worse things. It'll be my little bit of homework.
Okay. Right. Using that segue a little bit, I'm going to go a little bit off topic here, because it's actually an article that I forgot. I thought I'd put in the show notes, but I clearly haven't. And so it was basically the job listings that have come up on the Apple website, that Apple are trying to hire people to fix their maps problem.
Yeah. I'm not seeing that too.
So basically, they've got a whole bunch of listings, and the job title was something like ground terrain manager or something like that. I'm quickly trying to find the.
Are you sure they're not hiring a gardener?
They're building the campus there, the spaceship.
The campus too, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So they're hiring.
Need a lot of gardeners for that, I'm sure.
Those borders aren't going to dig themselves.
Maps ground truth managers. Just let that sink in. Maps ground truth managers. What I'll do is I'll just put the link that I'm looking at in the show notes, because I forgot to put that in the Skype window. I forgot to put that in the show notes before we started. But yes, there's a number of them. They're hiring a couple of people. They seem to be hiring them like all over the world to try and get this accurate, which kudos to them, but they could have found a better job title. Maps ground truth managers.
That's nonsense. Could they not just buy Ordnance Survey or something?
Yeah, well, something like that. They should just kind of... Well, is all their data not coming from something like that? Is it TomTom?
Well, most of it's... I think the maps themselves come from OpenStreetMap, and then all the different layers of metadata that go onto those from TomTom's One and for all the directional stuff and all the roads and blah, blah, blah. The thing is, you know, it might be a bit crap at first, but it will evolve.
It will.
You know, there is... I was going to defend it by saying there is, you know, a bit where you can provide feedback and you can drag things to the right place. I can tell you every single thing around my house I've dragged to the right place, still in the old place.
So
maybe they've just said, all right, that McCleary one off the iOS show, we better not let him do anything. But it'll evolve. It'll get better.
It will.
You have to remember that Google Maps wasn't that awesome when it launched either.
Yeah. No, it's been around for years.
Yeah.
But there are things. Google Maps still has Street View, and when you get used to that, that's a hard one to lose.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes, and so speaking of catching up, God, segues are coming thick and fast tonight. Johnny Ive is pushing he's pushing for flat design in iOS 7.
Can I butt in and just sod your segue, right? Did you see a video of Johnny Ive?
I've seen many videos of Johnny Ive. Exactly.
Did we do this last podcast? Did you see the Blue Peter thing?
Oh, yeah. You got a gold Blue Peter badge.
Maybe we did that last time, but I thought that was really sweet.
Of all the people in the world that don't need a gold Blue Peter badge, it's Johnny Ive. All it really gives you is free entrance to museums and stuff, isn't it?
I know, but I thought he was genuinely chuffed. I thought it was really sweet.
Yeah, I think he was.
Get Johnny Ive out of that white room is a very nice thing.
He's going mad in there. But yeah, this is the one big story, and I saw a related one on this as well that's got me well excited this month in the iOS and Apple space in general, is that Johnny Ive, is pushing for flat design in iOS 7, also has been making noises about flat design in iOS OS X. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at, I'm loving iTunes 11. I think it looks great. I think the move to Helvetica. There are obviously changes afoot when you look at the styling going on there. And I think it would be quite nice to see a little bit of refresh of the desktop UI in OS X. It would be nice to maybe have a slight subtle evolution of iOS's Springboard. I know a lot of people are going on about, some of my friends are going, they're thinking of maybe moving to Android because they're bored of iOS. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just had this, very similar Springboard since it came out. And, you can look at, I suppose a good example is if you look at the dock in OS X, it's got reflections and they've changed the little lights or the indicators for apps being open, but it's really not changed very much ever in OS X.
No.
And I think Springboard's likely to be like that as well. It does what it needs to do, and maybe will change how you reorder or group applications, but it works. So it would be interesting to see where they're going with this flat design, and maybe that'll be more within applications rather than, the higher level interface.
Yeah. And
just be like aesthetics too, and not so much of the functionality. So
yeah.
And just to the point about moving to Android for that, Android really doesn't do that much different in terms, with the obvious exception of widgets, but in terms of how you organize your apps and things like that and how you group them, it's exactly the same. It's a screen of a grid of apps and you drag one over the other to make a folder. There's not much different there. You do have widgets, which I do quite like, to be honest, but there's not much different.
4% of all the Android users.
Sorry?
That's the thing you get in your can of John Smith's, isn't it?
Do you still get widgets at John Smith's?
Do you still get John Smith's?
You do still get John Smith's because somebody at some point has left a number of cans of John Smith's when they've come round for, watch rugby or have a party or something like that. Because I've got some in my beer fridge in my garage, which I don't touch because I don't like that stuff. But certainly somebody has brought it.
In your garage drinking and crying. Sorry, we both talked right over Robert there. Sorry, Robert.
Sorry, yeah, Robert. Please, give us your wisdom. Lay it on us. Pour it on us.
No, just talking about the widgets there. Besides the widgets in the beer cans, of course, there was some survey recently about how many Android users in particular actually use them. It was like 4% of the total number of Android smartphone users actually have widgets.
Wow.
Bother with them.
See, that's the big sell for me. That and the keyboards are the big sell for me on Android, and I can't understand why. Well, I suppose it goes down to that old thing that we've said for quite a while on this show, and I think other people have said it as well, is that Android users, do they actually know they've got Android, or do they just have a touchscreen phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
more or less. Yeah.
You're going to get just people that have been upsold in a shop and went in for a real, just a phone.
Yeah.
And they've been told, you could have a touchscreen phone like everyone else, and they've bought an Android phone not knowing what it is. But there are Android power users.
There are.
And Android is pretty versatile, and, it has its place. So,
yes.
I don't really know what I'm saying.
I mean, Android is not a bad system on a technical level. What I really hate about it is that they let the carriers decide way too much.
Oh, they do. They do. They do.
Especially on updates.
Oh, I know. I know. But
you're going to talk about that at length later, aren't you, Paul?
I was going to mention it later, although I don't know. Not at length, but I have a few comments when we get in the competition section.
Blah, blah, blah.
So we're getting flat design theoretically in iOS 7. Funny thing about this article that suggests that he's pushing for flat design in iOS 7. Surely iOS 7 is relatively baked by now, due to the fact we're likely to get an announcement, at the very least shown it, WWDC, which is normally the first week in June. Therefore, we are, 2 months away? I find it hard to believe that he's still pushing to suggest that it hasn't actually happened yet.
But the thing is, I suppose they only chucked out what's-his-face with his skeuomorphic nonsense quite recently, so they may have been a bit further ahead in it.
Well, technically, he's not gone yet. Is it,
what's he called again? Forstall?
Scott Forstall.
He's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, he got pushed out, but I believe he's still hanging about like a bad smell because he officially can't go. There's some contractual thing. I don't know if he's necessarily still on the premises. I would
he's
doubt it.
Pushing a mop around.
I don't want
he's
to
really
go.
Miserable.
Don't make
being
me.
Haunted by the ghost of Steve Jobs.
He's wearing a fake moustache and applied for janitorial positions.
Oh, he's slimy. Yeah. So I just wondered if maybe it was something to do with the fallout of that, and it could also be that he's pushing for it in iOS 7, but also that, you know, they'll want a lot of developers to start showing flat design stuff as well. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. The other side of it is, of course, Windows, the new version of Surface, or rather Surface, is all flat design.
Isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That could be a bit problematic. I saw a little tweet about it. I think it was Morgan Evan. Mm-hmm. He was a bit confused about where does the Windows 8 UI end and where does the website page that's showing you the gallery begin.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult to tell sometimes. It's a bit too minimalistic almost.
Indeed. Have you guys watched this video of the new iPhone 5S to be released with sleek projector and transformer-like features?
I didn't even watch the video. I saw a picture of that, and that's a crock of it's something. It's a
crock of monkey snot.
Stuff off. There's no way Apple would let that out the door.
No chance.
Isn't that the new movie directed by Michael Bay?
Transformer phone.
Oh, it's nonsense. It looks like it's falling to bits.
Yeah.
It looks like something you'll find out of Shenzhen.
Yes, but what? Okay, coming away from the Apple purist point of view, that there's no way that Apple would have something with that many moving parts. They wouldn't have iOS then projecting OS X up onto the wall. One of the great things about using an Apple keyboard is the feel of the keyboard. The chiclet keys are amazing. Mm-hmm. So for all those reasons, this obviously is a fake. However, pretty cool, though, isn't it?
No.
No? I think
it'd
it is.
Cool if you're like, you'd think it was cool if you're like, I think it was cool if I was 13 years old or somehow, you know, developmentally challenged, or if I was Paul Wheatley. I'd think it was cool. Any of those three cases, everyone else just thinks it's idiotic.
That's not true.
I think there should be a law that shuts down sites that post crap like that, have their owners flung into an oubliette where they'll rot. And all of this should be televised and shown in every school in every country in the world so that our next generation will actually get the flipping message.
Okay, we'll...
I'm so editing that out and using it somewhere.
Just a suggestion.
We will put a link in the show notes for you to watch this video if you've not seen it already, but... I think it's quite cool. So, Apple TV, very quickly, the last news item I think we'll cover. We've got a couple other things in the news bucket, but we're running long tonight, which is bizarre because we thought we were going to run really short, but never mind. Apple are now releasing a 4K TV. So, for years now, probably the best part of 3 years, they've been talking about releasing a TV. And now, because that's not happened, they're now apparently working on a 4K ultra-high-definition television, and it is set for late 2013 or early 2014 launch. This is according to Mac Rumors.
Which in turn got it from DigiTimes, that very pristine and always accurate source of rumor crap.
This whole TV thing, Apple TV, well, a television set by Apple thing, has just been a license for all these sites to pump endless bilge. And it is nonsense. It's all come off the back of a throwaway comment that Steve Jobs made years ago, saying that he thought they'd cracked TV, which could just as easily mean something to do with interfaces or an Apple TV interface that's already in production, you know, like in whatever version of iOS is Apple TV on at the moment. One of us should know this.
We this should know this.
Or XP's. Whatever the newest one is, you know, maybe it's the most recent update. Maybe it was Take Two. Who knows? But it's just they're going to keep going on and on and on about this, whether or not Apple ever do release TV. I still don't get it. I don't see the reason for it.
I totally agree with everything you've said there. But I think it's fairly naive for us to think that they are not in any way, shape or form. There is nowhere in Cupertino that there isn't a TV that somebody's fiddling with.
You'd have to change the channels, wouldn't you? If you switch it on or off.
But my point is, somebody, whether it's going to get released or not, or whether it's in early development, or you know, maybe nothing, but they have to be working on it in the same way that they have to be looking at a watch, and they probably looked at some kind of phone shoe.
They're probably looking at a plague that will destroy humanity. Is that what you're saying?
they punt at everything, but unlike Google, they don't release everything; they just release the good stuff.
Is that a little segue into like Google Reader and stuff, perhaps?
You watch all those segues. But you know, the thing is that a TV is something that's far too personalized. You know, you're going to want so many different. This is why there are so many different manufacturers, so many different kinds, different sizes, you know, different thicknesses. There's going to be the one that's right for you out of 100 in the shop, and you're going to discount 80 of them. So Apple either have to bring out this massive range of different sizes and things, which I don't think they'll do, or, you know, more realistically, if they are doing a TV thing and investigating TV, I think it's going to be some kind of, you know, maybe built-in AirPlay licensed to different manufacturers or something like that, you know, building it in. Building in Siri to third-party manufacturer, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, possibly.
And the main thing I am like really annoyed by all these rumors is that they don't really fundamentally add anything to this mythical unicorn of a TV set beyond what the current Apple TV already offers.
Yeah,
That's the really bizarre thing.
You're
going to say that they just slap it on the back, pretty much, and okay, call it a day. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're basically trying. All the rumors seem to be just chucking a panel on the front of an Apple TV, an Apple TV as we currently know it, which doesn't make a huge amount of sense.
Bobbins, that's what I say. Bobbins.
Indeed. Moving on.
In fact, why don't I just shut up and let you do your podcast? You never thought I'd say that.
What would you like to discuss, Roddy, please?
I thought we'd skipped over the authentication and security one. Are we going to do that one?
I did plan to skip over it, but feel free to talk about it. Go.
I think this is actually quite an important bit of news.
Yeah, it is.
First of all, iForgot.apple.com was burst wide open. It turned out that even a not particularly savvy hacker with, was it your email and your date of birth, could basically prompt a password reset by mucking around with the web address. So that was bad. They took iForgot.apple.com offline briefly while they fixed it. Mm-hmm. But as if by magic, at the same time, they also released two-factor authentication for iTunes accounts, which is rather nifty. And you should all set it up because it means extra safety.
Yes. I mean, it should be noted that that's basically the same thing that's been around on Gmail for quite some time.
Mm. I've just said iTunes accounts. Isn't it iCloud accounts?
Yeah, it's iCloud.
It's iCloud, sorry about that. It says iTunes on the notes.
It does. Who typed that?
An idiot. Was it Ian?
I think it was Ian, yeah. Ian's the green colour.
Even if it wasn't, it is now blame Ian time.
We should really rip into bits later on as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a genuinely useful thing. Basically, if you have an iDevice or something that you can use as your secondary device, it will send an authentication code to that and use your two-factor through that. It's rather neat.
I quite like the idea of two-factor. I've not set it up on my Gmail account because I use Gmail that often that it would just bug me having to do that every time. But I believe there's a way that you can do it. And I'm not actually sure about this story because I've not been using an iPhone recently, so I haven't set it up. But is it only on new devices? So is it the same as Gmail in that if it recognizes that you're still using your same laptop that you always used to log in, it doesn't ask for the second factor?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does that. It's new devices only.
Right, okay. That's good. So it like drops a little token down to say all is groovy with the world. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. You know, I was thinking the other day, and somebody told me this already exists, I was wondering why banks haven't started doing that on phones, but apparently Barclays do that.
Yeah, I've got Barclays one. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm told it's very good. For two-factor.
It's actually, it's not just easier because it's, I can't remember how to speak. Hang on. It's
not just I'll give you a second.
It's not just easier because it's in your phone rather than the sort of calculator style keypad thing you had around with you. But with the calculator style thing, you had to put your card in and do a sort of, take a code off the site and type it back in. Whereas with this one, you just have one code. It's rather neat.
That's very cool. Anyway, sorry, drifting off again there. This seriously is the show of rabbit holes tonight, isn't it?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
So moving on now.
I took the blue pill.
I think it's just the blue one. don't ever do that again.
So the competition. Whilst we took our small... and not unexpected from our listeners' point of view, hiatus. The S4 was launched, the Samsung Galaxy S4.
Wow.
Yeah. What's our thoughts on this? Let's split this into two parts. Firstly, let's discuss the keynote.
That was weird. I didn't watch the whole thing. That was weird.
It was. I mean, you've got to applaud them slightly for not just trying to emulate Apple.
I guess.
Okay, a small golf clap for that.
I mean, it was right up there with Qualcomm CES, really.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
it was not far from, at least, yeah.
I'm thinking some of those people were off their meds.
But it was there was even some of the features when you take the when you get to take it out of context of the whole rest of the bizarre performance, they use some of the features and it was quite sexist in a way. So the way that they described the idea of not having to touch your phone was because there was a girl and she was waiting for her nail polish to dry. It's not
men
just
could be wearing nail polish.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is, I'm sure there's 105 different things that you could be doing that at least.
Oh, let's not go there.
Well, I was thinking about cooking or something.
Oh, right, okay.
or something like that. And they were using the same thing. Like, she was sitting drinking a glass. I think she was drinking a glass of wine, I forget. And that was why she didn't want... She was quite liking the kind of the eye tracking thing where the screen moves up and things like that. It was an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, I wasn't doing it. Did it not just seem like... When there was all that trash talk from non-Apple people... when the 3GS looked really similar to the 3G and then the 4S looked really similar to the 4 and the S4 just looks like the S3. Maybe I'm missing something.
It looks more like the Note, but you are right.
It's evolution rather than revolution. And from my glancing through, because I was genuinely interested, I'd like to know what the competition are doing, and I just didn't see anything particularly different other than a bunch of little features, very Microsoftian approach where they tag on lots of little features that maybe won't really ever use. Mm-hmm. But look at all the features it's got. Yeah. You don't ever use them, but it's got features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very big comparison sheet with lots of little tick boxes.
Little ticks.
Mm, yeah. I mean, there's some cool stuff and some innovative stuff there, I suppose, from the point of view of technology, but not necessarily from a customer's use case. Like the eye tracking, things like that. It's the same as like the self-powered cars, I think. There's a lot of this stuff that is cool, but it kind of freaks customers out. I mean, that's the main message I saw on my Twitter stream and my Facebook stream. Now, my Facebook stream is not... I keep Twitter very much for technology and colleagues at work and things like that. And Facebook's a lot more kind of like old school friends and friends that live close to me and things like that. And very rarely does any kind of technology announcement meander onto my Facebook stream. But the Samsung Galaxy one did, which I was quite surprised at, but it was predominantly negative. And that wasn't from necessarily Apple people, but it was from people just going, that just freaks me the hell out. You know, it was people who currently have S3s or maybe have HTC phones. That there was a high proportion of Android users, and they were just freaked out by this idea of eye tracking. And my God, that's the devil's work, being able to see where your eyes are. Which
they're
I thought
just
was
in
interesting.
Your head, they're on your face. That's where your eyes are. They're always there. Yeah. If they're not, you've got bigger problems than they are.
Yeah, precisely.
Do you know what I really like was it's the only one that really stood out for me. And I don't know why you'd want to do it, but it was kind of cool, is that the thing that takes video or photos from both cameras at once, the front and the back.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right, yeah,
You'd have to... It would be quite a good thing to use if you wanted to convince yourself you're developing some kind of mental illness. But I don't quite get it. But it could be fun. I get confused enough when I accidentally go to take a photograph and put the front facing camera on instead.
Mm, yeah, I know.
And I'm like,
you get a view
straight
up your nostril.
So if it was the scene you were trying to take a photograph, but with your phone and your face in the middle of the photograph you're trying to take, oh, God.
Mm. It's an interesting one, but
I'm bored of the S4 now.
Yeah, so the S4, I believe it comes out next month, so we should start seeing them drift into shops and things like that soon. I know they're certainly pre-ordering on Amazon. I was quite shocked to see that the base model is pre-ordering on Amazon for £629 British pounds.
Jings, is that the Queen's pounds?
It's the Queen's pounds, yeah, which Lord. Are one and a half times more than a regular pound.
but right as well.
Yeah, £629 on Amazon. Because I mean, what's an iPhone starts at £499, something like that.
Well, it better not be rubbish. S4.
Yeah, exactly.
Be raging.
That's for a 16 gig as well, which you can get in white and black. Anyway,
is that 16 gig of bytes?
16 gig of bytes. Yes.
Gig of bytes. Yes. Okay. Do you want to play a game? Shall we play a game? This is a fun game.
What's the fun game?
It's called the fun game. It's a game of fun. Okay. It's called the Windows Phone outsells iPhone in 7 countries game.
It's brilliant.
Microsoft have one of their marketing, the sort of colouring in department people have said that Windows Phone has outsold iPhone in 7 countries. Would you like to guess what countries they are?
I'm willing to bet they're not Western.
No, none of them are Western. Yeah, one of them, no, none of them are Western.
One of them.
I'm going to make another wild guess that it's not really markets that Apple have a huge presence in.
Or possibly even sell things in.
Yeah.
The list is Argentina. So I'll not say anything about that. India, Poland, Russia, South Africa, and the Ukraine, along with a smaller group of countries, including Croatia, that simply falls under the banner of the rest of Central and Eastern Europe.
Way to go, political correctness.
Apparently, in these 7 countries, and I think it might be these 7 countries combined, Windows Phone, while it has outsold iPhone, has sold something in the region of 100,000 units.
I would be interested to see particularly the rest of Central Eastern Europe, Russia, that Poland, that whole kind of area over that way. What the stats are, while it's saying that Windows Phone has outsold iPhone, I wonder by how much Android outsells both of them. That just seems to be that area of the world is a very Linux based area. I mean, was it not Linus Torvaldsen?
Get it right.
Torvalds. Where am I getting Torvadol from?
Sorry, Linus.
Listen, Linus. I'm sure he's one of our listeners.
Does he not hang out over there, or is he Scandinavian?
He's from Finland, isn't he? He's going to come over here, Paul. He's going to beat you.
He'll swear it in the video.
I'm going to destroy you, Wheatley, because that's exactly how he speaks.
Indeed, I imagine so. In a kind of more squeakier tone, I would imagine, but yeah.
I expect in Soviet Russia, Windows Phone outsells you.
Very much likely.
But what I'm saying is I would imagine that Android probably does a lot better in those countries.
Probably does, yeah. So, well done. Well done, Windows Phone marketing person, for bringing that one out.
However, Surface sales are low. 1 million for Surface and 400,000 for the Surface Pro.
But on a plus note, that's a combined 1.4 million.
Well, yeah.
Put a little bit of marketing fluff around that. It's not none.
It's more than zero, yeah.
Yeah. And if you put that against how many Surfaces they sold, which was the original table, then that's like hundreds of thousands of percent more.
I think from a marketing perspective, it's misleading, because the Surface has more than one Surface. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yes, indeed.
Let's sue them. Class action suit.
And finally, before we move on to the next section, a quick couple of notes on BlackBerry. BlackBerry have shocked the world by actually managing to sell 1 million Z10s. Their stock price jumped up a little bit following this news. So with quarterly profit sales... Their quarterly profit release came out. I think it was Monday, actually. Sorry, my internet is clearly not running as well.
It's gone all wobbly again. Oops.
I can't see. I'm sure it was Monday. I'm sure it was. They were talking about Monday. Anyway, it doesn't really matter what day it was. The point is, that's quite impressive.
I bet it wasn't just their share price that jumped up. I bet their CEO jumped up and said, hooray.
Yes. Hooray
for that.
For Alicia Keys.
I'm pleased for them. I'm glad they've sold 1 million Z10s. I hope BlackBerry actually have a shot at this. So let's keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. Should be noted that Apple sold nearly 8 times as many iPhones in that same quarter. But, you know, who's counting?
I bet Windows Phone outsold it in 7 countries. do you know what Ian would say at this point? Is he would undoubtedly pipe up and ask if they've really sold 1 million Z10s or if they've sold 1 million Z10s to carriers. He'd then start talking in numbers.
Yeah, and for that matter, we have one number to cover for Ian tonight, and that is zero.
Zero.
And that's the number of Ian... Sorry, excuse me, I've just completely screwed up your joke there, Roddy.
Oh. We've got a little placeholder in the show notes called Ian's number, because Ian talks in numbers and he's all about numbers and he thinks about numbers and he sleeps and dreams of numbers. And
he's the count from Sesame Street.
He really is. And I just put that his number today would be zero, which I've written in capital letters, but I could have written as the number zero. That was my decision, which would be the number of numbers that Ian will be presenting today. He's presenting none or zero numbers. Also, the number of words he'll speak in this podcast today, which is none or zero because he's not here. And the number of minutes that he's actually present today in our company, which is none, because the great big stop out is doing work instead. So stuff you, Ian, and stuff your numbers.
And
say on the matter.
Moving on nicely now into the trouble gusset.
And missing out the bit you were going to do about Android.
I'm going to come back to that. We're running.
You're going to come back to it. Okay, let's do the trouble gusset. Let's launch ourselves headlong into the depths of the gusset.
Right. Close pegs at the ready. Not for you, Graham. I'm about to talk about Graham Babbs, but it's the close pegs was not related to you. So Graham Babbs has sent in 2 questions for us. First one, I drive an hour each way to work. Many of the weekly podcasts I download are 30 minutes, which means I have to download 2 weeks' worth and listen in batches, as I don't want to be fiddling with the iPod when I'm driving. Is there a way to create podcast playlists which will queue different podcasts so I can listen to 1 half hour of one, then listen to a different podcast when it's finished without having to do anything? If not, is there another podcast app that does this?
Hey.
So, I have an answer for this, and I believe you do too. So, we'll go with your answer first, Roddy.
I'm sort of cheating because Graham told me the answer.
Oh, have you spoken to him since he sent this question in?
Well, a bit of both. He sent the question in, and actually something has transpired since because it has been a little while since we did the last one.
It has been.
Graham kindly then contacted me to point out that playlists have been added to the latest version of the podcast app. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, he should be able to do that in the playlist feature now in the podcast app, although there are limitations to what playlists can do.
Yeah. So
you'd have to have a decent play around with it to figure it out. I did see him in the pub on Tuesday, and he seemed not to be bothered about podcasts anymore, so let's just assume that that sorted him out.
Right. Okay, well, I'll just give my answer because it's slightly different to that, just in case anybody else is looking at this. I use, because obviously I'm using Android just now, but I used a podcast app called... I've completely forgotten what it's called now.
Well, you have to remember it pretty quickly because you don't want dead air on your podcast.
I've completely forgotten the name of the podcast. Are you... what song's that?
Wind of Change, Paul.
Wind of Change, yes.
Gorky
yes.
Park.
Indeed, indeed.
Hey, Robert, we could be so close, like brothers.
Robert's... where's Robert?
Is he gone? Oh, his Skype's broken for him. Have you... man down, man down. you try and remember it. Meanwhile...
you move on to the next one.
Robert's been trying to contribute to this podcast. Ian has broken through his window, crept up behind him, clad entirely in black, and slit his throat or something. He'll be coming for you next, Paul.
Yes. Next...
Well, have you got... Have you? Yeah, you do it. Come on.
No, you carry on. I'm fine.
I was just going to do the next Trouble Gusset thing, because you have no idea what you're doing. And you're flipping your Oh, look, Robert is actually contributing by typing things in now. He's saying... And if you use PodCruncher, comma, there are multiple built-in, type faster, Robert, type faster, built-in playlists. I think what he's trying to say is that if you've got PodCruncher, you can use built-in playlists. Was PodCruncher the application that you were trying to think of?
No, I wasn't. I was trying to think of Downcast.
Downcast most of the time.
Downcast is a superb podcasting app. It's one of the big things that I'm missing from from moving over to Android is a good podcasting app. Because Pocket Cast, I believe, is one of the best ones on Android, and it's just not as good. But basically, that does what he's looking for.
Nightmare.
It does what he looks for. He takes all the podcasts, puts it in a playlist, does it in reverse order, so you always get the oldest one first, so that you're always kind of working towards the most recent ones. Automatically just kind of plays one after the other. It also detects new podcasts at all times, but doesn't download until you open the app. So it means that if you open the app in a Wi-Fi zone or something like that, it just sends and things like that.
That's kind of neat. Yeah, hey, do you know what else happened? Graham, I can't take credit for this. Graham pointed it out. The new update to the podcast app, which has introduced playlists, has taken away the skeuomorphic reel-to-reel animation that you would get if you flicked up when you were playing your podcast.
Yes,
which was really cool. Because I know, I don't like skeuomorphic stuff, but it was actually accurate. If you, it would actually unwind in time, and the reels would get bigger and smaller. I quite liked it.
Yeah. So
unfortunately, that's gone now. But Johnny Ive says no.
He does.
What's next?
So the next one is another one from Graham. My wife's iPad keeps showing double-sized screen, i.e. only half the page is visible on the screen, and scrolling doesn't work. It does it on the lock screen. Double tapping doesn't do anything, so a hard reset is necessary. Any ideas how to prevent this?
I'm a bit stuck on this one.
I have to admit, I was too. It doesn't go into any details as to where it's happening, which suggests to me it's happening all over the place.
I'm just wondering if it's a hardware or a software issue. I mean, the first thing I would definitely do is do a restore if it's doing something weird like that. I would, if it's doing this kind of half-screen thing and you have anything that can receive AirPlay, I would try playing, you know, mirroring to another device and seeing if it's still halved. That would be a second troubleshooting step, I think. Failing that, I would probably go into the Genius Bar, because that doesn't sound healthy.
No, I've never seen that before at all.
The first thing I thought he was talking about was, you know, when you run a phone app?
Yeah,
but it's not that, is it?
No. The other thing I did think about was if it's in Safari, it could have something to do with how Safari's rendering pages. You know, if it's not responsive web pages that he's looking up. But it doesn't go into that level of detail, which suggests it's happening everywhere. Or at the very least, in kind of apps as opposed to websites. So that's recommendations there. Try restoring it or take it in the Genius Bar, I think, is the couple. So the next one is from Claire Gordon. I've recently switched...
Hello, Claire.
Hello, Claire. I recently switched to the email app on my iPad. Gmail app on my iPad. I can't read tonight. How can I quickly get my iPhone contacts into Gmail?
It depends how quickly you can type, really.
So there's a couple of solutions here. Gentlemen, do you want to chuck in a solution here, or will I just go forward with this one?
I'm not sure, actually, no.
Okay. There's a couple of things you can do here. The first one is the one that Apple recommend when you go into like the, or I can't remember if it was Apple or Google. I'm doing a little bit of research into this. The first one that they recommend is there's actually a way that you can synchronize. If you go into your settings And you can actually, there's a little ticky box that says that keep your contacts up to date with your Gmail account. And you tick that. And in theory, it does it. Now, I did that and then checked the next day, like over 24 hours later, and didn't make a blind bit of difference. None of my contacts or anything like that were in Gmail. So what I ended up doing, and this actually was the easiest way to do it, was I exported everything from my... just to be clear, this is she actually has said here that it's her iPhone contacts. So what I'm about to suggest here is assumes that you have iCloud set up and that your contacts on your desktop are syncing to iCloud, because you export from the address book in your desktop and then you can import that file into Gmail.
That assumes she has a desktop, though.
That assumes you have a desktop, but that definitely works. I managed to do it that way because I kept all my contacts in my address book on my desktop, and when I was looking into this is the only way I could get it to work well, and work in a timely manner. There is a chance that synchronized function within OS X would actually do it eventually, but I didn't see any evidence of that a day later, so. So try that. If it turns out you don't have a desktop, please come back to us, Claire, and we'll see if we can look in a bit further as to how you can do it just with your iPhone.
But, and hopefully in less than 6 weeks.
Indeed. Yeah, hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Next one from Steve Roberts. Do you know if there's a quick way to archive or delete emails in the Mail app on the phone, on the iPhone?
The word archive makes me wonder if he means Gmail, a Gmail account, and I know nothing about Gmail, so... Do you think it's archiving as in Gmail archiving?
I don't know. Either way, if you're using the Gmail app or you're using the regular Mail app...
Gmail account configured.
With a Gmail account configured, yes. That's a good point.
I thought it archived instead of deleting from my very limited memory.
You could do both. You can delete as well. But you basically swipe across the message, right to left or left to right. I don't think it matters.
But then he's asking for a quick way, and of course you can use edit in most views on Mail.
And so you can select multiple
dots for lots of them, can't you?
Yeah.
I hope that's what he's asking. But.
So what we're saying here is there's two ways. Tap edit at the top, you can then multi-select messages and then hit the delete or archive button at the bottom. Or if you want to do it one by one, but a quick way of doing that, you can just, in the list view, you can swipe the messages. And when you swipe, a little button appears that says archive or delete, depending on what email program you're using. So that should solve your problem. Again, same with Steve. Any further questions, or if that doesn't quite solve your problem, give us a shout.
We didn't say hello to Steve.
Sorry, hello Steve.
Hi. Hi, Steve.
And our final trouble gusset tonight is from Sheila Martin. This is
hello,
a long
Sheila
one.
Hello, Sheila Martin.
Hello, Sheila.
I'm just being friendly and trying to involve our listeners here.
I'm currently running iOS 6.1.1 on my iPhone 4S. My laptop...
Well, upgrade it.
You're jumping ahead of yourself here, Roddy. I've got to read the message.
Sorry.
My laptop recently stopped working, and as I can achieve the majority of things I need on my iPhone, I've not gotten around to fixing it yet. My iPhone has alerted me that there's a new version of iOS available to download. I always plug my phone in to do a backup and then upgrade through iTunes. Being that I don't have my PC, I can't do that this time. I have heard rumours that although you can do updates through Wi-Fi, it can sometimes break your phone. Given that I have no other means to access email, etc., I don't want to risk it. So my question is, are these rumours true? Is it safe to upgrade my phone over Wi-Fi?
Upgrade? Has she upgraded yet?
I don't know. Sheila, have you upgraded yet?
She wanted an answer to the question, don't she? I started typing in an answer to this when we were starting doing the podcast. And from my personal experience and experience of other people I've spoken to, I don't think you're in any more danger doing a Wi-Fi update or an on-device update than you would be restoring from iTunes. Mm-hmm. I've seen bad things happen on both. Doesn't seem to be one more than the other. I think... You need to remember that in both cases, it is going to verify the update that you've downloaded before it installs it. But there are numerous things that can cause it to mess up and make require another restore of your phone. In any of these cases, you're going to want to make sure that you're backed up in some capacity. So I would probably the easiest way, if you're not plugging into a computer, is to use iCloud backup, assuming you've got an iCloud account set up. If you don't set one up, because it's free, you get 5 gig of storage that you can back up your primary phone settings to, directly over Wi-Fi. With things like email, hopefully we are with an email provider that keeps email on the server, and you could just set those accounts up again. It will download your email again for you.
Grant.
Yeah.
Great.
That was the answer for Sheila, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Cool. Okay.
Grant. I've heard more problems with over the air updates if it was like whole number updates, so like iOS 5 to 6 or 6 to 7. But that's purely anecdotal, and it could just be that I haven't heard of other ones. So, so if you do all the things I've already just suggested, you hopefully should be okay. And let us know, like with everybody on the Trouble Gusset, let us know if you have any further questions or if you have any problems or if you want to sue any of us over giving you incorrect duff advice, please send those to Roddy.
Or if you just want to chat, we all get lonely. Don't be a stranger.
This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2. They are fantastic and you should use them. We have a whole bunch of voucher codes that gives you tons and tons of awesome discounts and things like that from all sorts of things from DNS to virtual servers and all sorts of other groovy stuff. So all you need to do is go over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and you will see a whole bunch of sponsor codes there. They all start British Tech and then the variety of different things after that. Click on the UK2 link from there and then pop all the stuff that you want in your basket on UK2 and then pop in the voucher codes. And in some cases, you can actually manage to clear your basket, I believe, I'm told. So awesome, awesome stuff. But please go through the British Tech Network and use the click through there, because that's how UK2 know that we've sent you and you haven't just got the codes off of some kind of news group or something like that. So we'd really appreciate it if you could go over. UK2, they're absolutely fantastic. They support the British Tech Network, and we want you to support them. Finally, then, we don't have a huge amount of skips. We're running long, so I'm just going to skip the skips and go straight to the picks.
That's a bold move,
that And we're going to start with Roberto Baggio.
Hey. He's not on our podcast. Isn't he a footballer? You're making this up. You're living in a world of fantasy now, Paul.
That's a long time ago. I think he was a footballer in like the late 90s for Italy, I believe. Anyway, Roberto.
I think I'm beeping. Sorry, folks.
I can't hear you. It's okay. It's internal. Okay. It's in your head. Robert, what is your pick this evening?
My pick. I don't have a skip, I'm afraid, but I do have a pick. And my pick is, might have heard this during the week. It's kind of exploded in the media. It's forecast.io. It's a web app. It's quite free to use, and it's pretty darn spiffy. Basically, it's another one of these apps which is very trendy right now, but this one just looks really, really nice and works in any web browser, should be on almost any device, not just iOS devices. But it works even on an old iPhone 3G, and heck, as far as I know, it works even on an original iPhone. And, well, this is pretty much the newest apps you're going to get from me from now on, because all the other apps are just for newer devices.
Oh, bless. What are you using these days, Streak?
iPhone 3G still.
3G still? Do you want a 3GS?
A 3GS would be kind of nice. That would be a nice upgrade.
Yeah, we'll discuss this. I actually might have one genuinely spare if you want it. So we can. This is just us being social.
We are very lonely people. This is the way we socialize.
I'd like to point out that this offer doesn't extend to our listeners.
Little caveat about forecast.io. It really does weird stuff to the city names, though. It appears to randomly make big letters where they're not supposed to be. Hmm. I've had it happen almost anything I enter into it, and that kind of confuses me. But otherwise, it works fine.
If you've read anything I write on social networking sites, it's all in big letters as well, so don't worry about it.
Never mind then.
How does the current location work for you? I've just tried it, but obviously I'm on a web browser, and it's given me a bit of an odd location. So does it use it from your ISP, or does it use it from your actual location on your phone?
I find that it uses the ISP, and that gave me a really, really weird position. Hmm. But if I let it use the GPS for my iPhone, for instance, it was, well, at least more accurate.
Good to tell. Okay. Mine's given it as next door to my house. That's uncanny.
Wow. Well, mine says that I'm currently in Bonnybridge in Stirlingshire, which is quite a distance from me.
Quite a distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'd call a safe distance.
So that's Forecast, and it's free. And, of course, as with previous weeks, the picks will be in the show notes. Roddy, what is your pick this evening?
Oh, this is brilliant. This is my absolutely favorite app for ages. Do you want to tell you what it's called?
Okay.
Right, okay. It's called Year Walk, and it's £2.49 in the UK App Store. What it is, and it's quite hard to describe, but I'm going to try anyway, is it's sort of like an exploratory adventure, if you could imagine such a thing. Okay. So it's based around, and Street, maybe you can help me here, some kind of Scandinavian ritual of the year walk that you would do at New Year, and you would go for a sort of big walk into the woods to prove there, or I don't know, something to do with that. This is loosely based around that concept. You go and do your own little year walk in the snowy woods. It's got this really nice art direction. You kind of drag your finger around to move through the woods, which is done screen by screen. It's strangely reminiscent of old sort of point-and-click adventures, even though you're doing it in sort of first person. The art direction is this really kind of creepy, sort of scratchy art direction. It's very, very scary at points. It has a sort of lingering sense of menace, and occasionally things will pop up and give you a little, put the willies up you, as it were. but it's sort of loosely a puzzler. I played it through in about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It's quite rewarding when you do figure out the puzzles. Really, really highly recommend it, even if you just go around listening to the music and enjoying the artwork. £2.49, well spent.
Very good. Very good. So that was Year Walk.
Year Walk. I liked it. I don't know if you picked that up from the review.
Yes, yes, I did. Okay, I did. Cool. Mine, because I'm kind of cheating a little bit here, because I've not been using iOS for pretty much the last month, it's very difficult for me to have a pick. But what I have decided to do is the Evernote app is quite similar on iOS and Android, but I've just recently rediscovered Evernote. I've never really went away from it in the sense of using it, but I've never really been using it to a high degree. I've only ever kind of almost been using it as a repository for just basic text pad notes. I've not really been using any of its extra features. And just a few weeks back, I signed up finally to Screencast Online, Don McAllister's fantastic service. He had an offer code on, and so I got a year's membership to Screencast Online for like £30 or something like that. And
that's a good deal.
It is. Very good. Very good. And I watched the three episodes that he's got. The first things I watched was the Evernote. So I think he's got three on Evernote and then two for Evernote for iOS. And it's just the simple things. It's keyboard shortcuts. I'm not going to ruin it or anything like that, because I think Don McAllister does a fantastic job, so you should go over and give him the kudos for it. But some great, great power tools, things that you could do for sending emails and things like that in Evernote, really kind of polishing up your workflow and getting a lot faster. And it's basically renewed. It's almost, albeit I've used Evernote for years, it's basically given me a brand new app. With all the extra stuff that he's uncovered. So my pick is both Evernote and Screencast Online. Absolutely superb. Really, really chuffed with it. And he has, with just those three episodes about Evernote, he's made me a long-term customer of the Screencast Online. So very,
just
very happy.
Just watch out, Evernote, don't lose all your passwords again.
I renewed my password almost instantly when that happened. But I've got a kind of a sub pick, because I've never actually played it yet. But it was announced that Plants vs. Zombies 2 will be coming out this summer. So that got me very excited. And it actually made me go back and play through Plants vs. Zombies for what must be about the sixth or seventh time. And I just completed it on the train on my way home from work this evening. So all very good.
You didn't need to they get just out lower the price of that to free recently as well?
I think it was. It was definitely on offer on the Android store where I got it. It was, I think it was like £49 or something like that on Android. But
oh, that's money well spent.
Indeed,
a good time waster.
Indeed, indeed. So that's basically our show for this evening. Myself and Roddy had a quick conversation before the show and went, yeah, we'll probably run short, but it'll be okay because there's only a few of us here tonight, and I think this is possibly the longest show we've ever done.
Because we cannot be shut up. It's because we don't have Ian here. We have Ian going, number, hello, I'm Ian McKay, numbers. That's not even how he speaks. In my imagination, it is numbers constantly.
So a couple of housekeeping things. The Bash tickets are available. They are 20 of your British pounds. You can head over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the Pay Now button. And you can secure your ticket for the British Tech Bash in the summer, 6th of July. That £20 will pay for all your food and drink during the day. Last year, there was more than enough drink. I think there was almost enough to have a second bash the day after the amount of drink that was left over. And we had an awesome pig roast last year. I don't know what the plans are this year, but I'll be going. The other two guys who do the Gamer Show will be going. I believe Ian and Roddy are still undecided, but they may be there, may not be, who knows.
I think I need to have a discussion with the police first before I confirm, but it should be okay.
Streak, I believe you're not going to be joining us this year.
Not in physical form, but I'll be there in online form, if nothing else.
Cool, okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to take that 3GS along to the bash, and if Streak doesn't come, I'm going to throw it in a lake.
There's also, for those that are coming down the night before, there's a curry, a place called, I think it's called Kismet. Absolutely fantastic. One of the best curries I've ever had. I was there last year. And so there's a deposit for the curry, and that actually, basically that'll come off your bill at the end of the night. It's not paying for your curry. And it's just so that if we hold 30 seats, and the guy's turning, the guy who owns the curry house is turning folk away, it means he's still getting something for his trouble. That £10 will come off of your bill at the end of the night. It's just basically a hold a seat for the curry house. Absolutely fantastic. And just directly opposite the curry house is the travel lodge that I'd probably recommend you stay in because it's the closest one. So
are you getting commission from any of these places?
No, I'm not. No. It's absolutely superb. It was an amazing, amazing day last year, and I would highly recommend it. As I say, Gamer Show is going to be there. Most of the iOS show should be there. I would imagine the Media Show will be there. Most of the Mac Show, the Big Show, the Photo Show, and so on and so forth. The Dude of Dad and the Dude will probably be there, so it'll be an awesome day. A few of the shows are going to be recorded live as we're there. Certainly the Gamer Show is. I don't know. I've not spoke to the guys about the iOS show yet, but all very good. So head on over to the British Tech Network and buy your tickets for the bash. Get them secured in early. I hear they're going quite fast already. So, finally, if you want to if you want to send in any questions for the Trouble Gusset, send it to britishtechnews@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. Roddy?
I'm Roddy, that's R-O-D-T-I on Twitter and AppNet.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm on app.net now. Yeah, I know. I just went on last night. I was waiting for somebody to tweet out a free code, and I think Mac Observer sent out free codes last night. So nice. I joined up. Streak, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, app.net, @StreakMachine, not the usual way.
Grand. Well, it's been awesome, gentlemen, and I think we have a record for the longest show that we've ever done.
Sweet.
And all going well, we will see you in a couple of weeks with a full complement of folks, i.e. Ian will be here. So thank you very much, and good night.
Bye. Love you. Bye.